Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joan Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is May the 22nd, 2014. And today we're going to talk about the ways that you could double your income and really serve people really well with your coaching by working with, you know, thinking of people in groups, like family groups, and that you don't need to just work with an athlete or their child. You could often work with, have individual sessions with the child, and then an individual session with the parents. I'm doing that right now with a family that has two girls that are each swimmers, and so I'm having one individual session a week with the older girl and one private session per week with the younger girl, and then the parents wanted me to talk with them also, so I'm doing sessions with them, with the parents. So it's a way to actually, in that case, I'm tripling my income, what I'd normally get with, one client from one family. And so that's a good way to think about what you could do as well if you're, working with groups that it's not. Oftentimes the person that's calling, if it is a parent, they're interested in, working with their child. Seeing if you could work with their child. But oftentimes they're perplexed as to how to be a good sports parent and how to handle the situations that they can there. And so if you can in this case, they just ask me, said, Dr. Joanne, can you do a session with us as parents? And then I talked with them about how we could talk about how to handle each child. We could talk about, and how to be a good sports parent. We could talk about how to, and you talk about your relationship as parents and as a couple together, your different parenting styles and how you get along in your marriage and the relationship. Maybe not doing marriage counseling per se, but just talking about the, different impact that you have and different role models that you play for your child. And then we could also talk about the coaches, at the swim club and how your daughters are handling the coaches there. And the woman said, oh my gosh, well, that could be like 20 sessions right there with all of that, those different topics. And she said, okay, well, we'll do four sessions to start with, and because I said I do, I bill in blocks of four sessions. So, so in that case, as an example, I bill currently $997 per month for a block of four sessions or a month, whichever comes first, kind of thing. So in that case, it's I'm doing that a block of four sessions for the older girl, and then a block of sessions for the younger girl, and a block for the parents, so that's like $3,000 a month. So that just gives you kind of the economics of working with multiple members of a group within a family, and that way you get, I think you get a lot more, you can get a great result as well, because you're working with the different units. You could, if they're coming into your office, you could work with the parents and the child together, and I often will do that if they're local here. But in this case, a lot of my clients are all over the country or all over the world, so they can't come in here. So with a session like that, then you can do individual sessions with each member and keep yourself really busy and serve the family well and double or triple your income that you would make with that group as well. So it's a really nice way to think about, working in groups like that. And the way to attract parents to hire you to coach your, their athlete's son or daughter, or some of the ways that you could do that are to be able to, you could, of course, your website, put those keywords, sports parents, high school, you know, good keywords would be high school athletes and or college athletes, and then put your particular sports, you know, high school baseball, high school soccer, high school swimming, or youth. If you want to, in this case, the girl, older girl is 11 and the younger girl is 10, so they're in the younger grades, so you could just put young athletes or youth athletes, and then tell a, you know, on your website you could tell a story, or do a blog, you know, just do an article about your about the athletes, you know, one athlete that you work with, and the maybe the success that you had without you know, and then just removing the identifying information, of course, so you don't use their name, or you could use another name, first name or something. And so, or videos are really great too, using Google Hangouts, which is free. And yeah, I just did a great interview with Greg Herring, and that was great, Greg, to work with you and on that. And yeah, you can see that on my website as an example. At or it's actually right now at the my YouTube channel at youtube.com/performingedge. You can see. And by the way, any of you that are listening to this call or the replay, if you'd like to do an interview, I'd love to do an interview with each of you as you get certified to help promote you and to highlight your uniqueness, your unique qualities, and what you do, and be able to. And then I put that on my website, the Performing Edge Coach website, and the YouTube channel, and then you can also put it on your all your channels as well, your website, your YouTube channel, and a Facebook page, anywhere that you'd like. So, yeah, in fact, I might put some of those, too, on our PECI private group page. So any else, I could put that one of you, Greg, if that's okay, on the Facebook page there.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's so that other members could see what we did, and yeah, you could see an example. I loved all your pictures in the background of Maui.
Yeah. Favorite place on the planet. Yeah.
What's that?
Favorite place on the planet.
Yeah, yeah, you've been all over the place. It's great. Yeah, so it's that's another way that you could do. You could just and then through doing the interview with you, you get to learn how to use Google Hangouts as a tool, and that way you can use it to interview other athletes or get testimonials. Actually, do a session with an athlete that way, video that you don't have to. You can record it, or you don't have to record it, or you can just use Google Hangouts to just do a hangout with yourself, so to speak, and just do a one-way presentation or small little. Webinar, but that's the kind of thing you could talk about, how you work with sports parents and how you work with kids, and a story there, and that would be fantastic, the way that people can get to know you a lot quicker through video. And I think at least I've read statistics that last year was about 50% of the information going across the web was through video, and now it's going up to, you know, 70 or 90% is through video. So that's where the market is moving in terms of how to marketing techniques and how to attract sports parents. If you'd like to attract high-income sports parents who can, you know, afford your services, you know, look to the sports that that attract, you know, that require a higher income in order to get into those sports, like golf and tennis and equestrian. Often swimming, I found too, parents tend to be in a higher income bracket. And so that way it's not as tough of a marketing job, because you can talk to them. They're used to hiring lots of coaches for their kids already. They're spending lots of money usually hiring coaches, but getting frustrated that they're not getting the results they want. And often the missing element, that missing component, is the mental component. So you can talk about that they're, even though they have all these other coaches, they've got a, you know, maybe a technique coach, there's their primary sports coach, and they got a strength and conditioning coach, but their child is just kind of overwhelmed with and not being able to put it all together. So you could be the person that, you know, helps them integrate everything and helps them to make their other coaching worthwhile and be able to do the things that oftentimes the parents are also calling you because their child is driving them crazy. And they're saying, they're having a difficult time as a parent. And so they maybe you're saying some of the right things to their child, but because they're the parent, they often say, I can't, as a parent, I have trouble communicating these things, and I know you as an outside person could help with that. So that's, some of the techniques to attract people. You know, your website is the primary one, I'd say. But that's one, but actually there's lots of other ways, too, offline, which are good to take advantage of, and that's, going to high schools, going to the colleges, talking to the coaches or the athletic department. If you could get an opportunity to speak for the athletic department or for one of the sports teams, that's fantastic. Then you get them to really see you in person, and you could offer a discount for the first three sessions if they would like to sign up with you. Excuse me. Or you could offer a free consultation at first, and then give them a sample of what you do, and then talk about how they could take advantage of more work with you. So those are some of the things that marketing ways that you can do that. You can also go to sporting goods stores, and put your brochures or a handout with, say, top 10 tips or your business cards. I know running stores will often have a place for that. And you can put, postcards are really effective. If you can go to VistaPrint.com. Or other online places, and just they have templates there. You could get, design one. Just go to Fiverr.com, which is a great place to find graphic artists. It's Fiverr, spelled Fiverr.com, so two R's at the end. And that's where you can get just about anything done for $5, which is, pretty unbelievable. But there are really good people there will do amazing things. I've had great graphics work done there. So you could have a postcard printed up there, and you could put, have one just made up for, working with high school kids and sports parents. So if you can think of them as a unit, that you're not only working with the child, but you're working with the parents. And often the parents want to talk to you a lot on the phone about how to parent their kid. I would advise you to, give them some information by phone, but then I'd recommend to not give all your time away just working with them in that way, but just to say, in order to, really help you with, being a parent, actually I offer a program, for sports parents to help them to learn how to motivate their child in the right way. So you can tell them that you'd like to set up a session with them so that you get paid for your time instead of a lot of little calls in between where you're having to kind of put out fires. Tell them that you can actually give them the skills to be a better parent, so you don't have to put out the fires, but you can really train them to be great sports parents. So you could then do on your website, you could just do a video just for that, or a blog article just for sports parents. So do one for the athlete kids, and then another one for sports parents. And make it clear if you can that you do individual private sessions. A lot of times parents have gone to my website and they said it's not clear that I do private sessions with the clients, so I need to make that more clear on my site, and And you can on your website, too, that you do individual sessions and that you can do them by phone as well as in office. A lot of times parents might be local, and so they really want to come to your office. And that's, or if you have a home, I just have a home office here. And so they come here, and that works out really great. And parents love that so that they can, so their child can really get a personal connection with you. I noticed with the clients I'm working with now, the swimming family, they're in across the San Francisco Bay, so it would be an hour or more drive to get from them to me. I'm over here on the peninsula on the west side. And so I've been working with the girls by phone and by the parents by phone. But it still feels a bit distant, and the girls have trouble talking to me on the phone. And I said they have trouble getting started, and then once they get started, then it's fine. But I suggested now that it's summer, next week, summer starts, if they could come here and actually do an in-office visit, then the girls could see me and make that one-to-one connection, and so then there, I think it'll bridge a lot of the gaps. So that's a really a good advantage if you have local parents or kids that can come, and you can just create a space in your home without having to rent an office. If you can rent an office, great, but you don't need to have that extra expense. You can just have a converted bedroom kind of thing, and into an office, and then have them come there, and. Yeah, it works great. Another thing that you can do as marketing for parents is make sure that if you have a good result, that you can get a testimonial from them. For instance, I worked with that 10-year-old baseball kid that I mentioned in one of our previous calls, and I did 8 sessions with him and his father, and his dad. In that case, his dad was here the whole time. Because the child was, it really helped him to focus because he had ADHD and ADD, attention deficit disorder, and so the father was really helped him to focus, even though he's super smart kid. And so we had a really good, great transformation where a few sessions ago the child was even considering. Wasn't doing really well and just wasn't into it, and the parents were thinking of pulling him out of baseball altogether and saying, I don't know if this is going to, if we want to put money into this, into baseball if the child isn't going to do it. And then we had a session about that, and he really made a turnaround, and where he decided all of a sudden if baseball is going to be taken away from him, and then all of a sudden he realized he has to work at this. He got really excited, and now he's hitting really well and pitching really well, and made a total turnaround to where we're doing fantastic. So in the last session, I made sure I had my video camera there in the session, and then asked his father if I could he said some great things, and I just said, is it possible I could just, have you say some of those comments on video? You don't necessarily have to call it a testimonial or endorsement, which sounds kind of official, but just say, have your comments on video or something. The parents said, oh, absolutely, yeah, I'm just so pleased with your work. So I just pointed the camera. It's just real informal and turned on the camera, and then he talked and said wonderful things. So I want to put that on my website, and you can get their written permission to put it on the website, and so that works great. So then that becomes a marketing tool for you, for other parents to see that wow, they could get results with their child as well. Any comments or questions so far, or any thoughts about, or anybody that you're working with?
Just, I had one quick question in respect to, as far as, and I don't know how you can measure this, but do you get more references via word of mouth, or do you think from your website? mean, is there a way to measure that, or
referrals or more clients?
Yeah, more referrals. Do you think they come more from reference, from like word of mouth, from people you've worked with, you know, recommending you, or are people actually finding you on the website?
Yeah, for me, I think now it's about half and half.
It is. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think at first, when you're not as well known, you know, more you get more business from your website, and then as you get working with clients over the years, months and years, then so you have good results, then those clients tend to refer other people, which is great. Actually, I'd say it's more like it's hard to measure. Yeah, maybe it's a third from referrals from other people, and then 2/3 from the website. So that's good news for all of us. That even if you're new, you don't have to rely on referrals. Your website can do a lot of the work for you because people will search on in your area. So make sure that you put your city on there and your location. Because they'll often search on, for me, they'll search on, performance coaching or mental training, San Francisco Bay Area, something like that, and or Peninsula, and so then they, my website will tend to come up. Whereas if you just put, sports or something, then it's not gonna, you get lost with all the other people. So. Put your city kind of thing. Yeah, so that's a good question, Greg. And I think in terms of referrals, it's good to referral sources. You could use, people like, there's clients, of course. They're the best referral sources, clients that you've worked with. And you could have a system where if they refer someone to you that results in being a client, that they get a free session or something. I don't do that currently. I don't necessarily need to do that, but that's a good way to get your practice started. There's clients, and then there's coaches. Coaches are a great referral source as well. For instance, last week, a swimming coach called from Florida, who has a private USA swimming coach there, and so he said that he was having problems with one athlete, a 17-year-old girl who psychosomatic symptoms. Dizziness and gets stomach aches and headaches whenever there's a swim meet. She comes up with having lots of, problems. It's anxiety related, I think, and even though she's very talented, she just gets really anxious and obsesses about her swimming and all. And then I guess psychologically tries to, ends up getting out of it because she gets so anxious. So I talked with him, the coach. The way to handle that is you can talk to the coach first and then say let me just back up for a moment. The way that the coach found me actually was through the website. Website and searched around. I think he'd seen my book or something too. So actually it was a combination. The website, he found the website first, and then he was not the client. He was, became a referral source. And I talked to him about what I could do and could help her with being able to be more confident and all. And so I said, what's the next step? And I said, the next step probably be to talk to the parent. And he suggested that too. So you want to talk to the parent before the child. Depending on if it's an adult, of course, you just talk to the adult. But if it's a parent-child situation, then talk to the parent first because they're the ones that need to get behind it, and they're the ones that will be supporting it and paying for your services. So then he said he would give my name and number to the mother, and then she and website. It's really important to, if you can, give that coach your website name and your any videos that you have. or articles, and then they can forward that to the parents so they can get a little bit of background information on you first and see that you're really an expert in this area. If you're a certified performing edge coach, of course, that really helps tremendously as well in your credibility. And so they'll want to work with you. And then I talked to the parent, and she got convinced that, yeah, this would really help. And then so she just, a lot of times if the parent's really convinced of it, then they'll just want to set up an appointment right away with the child and just say, okay, my child's doing this. But sometimes, other times, if the child is skeptical and wants to talk with you first, then you could say, you could talk, do a 10, 15-minute short talk with the child first to get them comfortable and just to hear your voice and hear what you do. You could do that and then set up a time. And with the child, I'd usually just say, well, do you want to, maybe you can set up a time to chat and we could chat more about this, as opposed to calling it a session with a child. They might not know what a session is, or they might be a little scared or intimidated at first, so just call it a chat or something to make it informal. And then get back to the parents and make sure, oftentimes kids will forget the appointment time, or they don't have a schedule, the parents keep a schedule, so get back with the parents and make sure they understand that time is okay for them, and then they'll coordinate with the child to make sure that they call you. And all, if it's much younger kids, like 11 and 10 that I'm working with, then you want to go. The parents will usually do most of the coordinating, and they might actually call you at the beginning of the session. Then I'll work with the child during the session on the phone, and then at the end I'll go back to talking to the parent. Say, can I get to talk to your mom again? And then talk to the mom for a few minutes, or dad, and give them a debriefing of what we did in the session. Without, you don't have to be real specific, but just talk about the techniques you use. And then that way you keep the parent informed. It's really important to keep the parent informed about what you're doing with them, so that the child, so they know they're getting, they're progressing forward and, getting results, and keeping the, because the parents are the ones supporting you and paying for the services, so they need to, know what's going, what you're doing, and try to keep, give them notes. Sometimes I'll email notes of the session, and if there's an MP3, that I create that all the time, visualizations, then I'll, I'll email that to the child and to the parent, so the parent hears it. And oftentimes the parent hears it and they think, wow, this is something I could use too. And oftentimes it can result in the parent becoming a client of yours. Oftentimes sports parents are athletes themselves, and so they've got their own sport, and they end up thinking that, well, this is so effective for my child, I think I'll have some sessions for myself too. So that's another way that you can gain new clients from within a family. So does that kind of help with your question, Greg?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I clarified it. Great. Thank you. So it starts out with, in a new business, as you point out, a website is helpful, and then referrals come later. So that's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah, when those referrals come from your work with someone else, it's the most wonderful feeling in the world that, oh my gosh, I got new clients coming in without having to do any work at all, without any marketing. I mean, because if you can think of your coaching as the marketing, that's why I think these sessions, our Performing Edge Coach certification course and these ongoing mentoring calls are really important to keep your keep you up to date on things. And give you new information so that you can be the best coach you can, and that's the best marketing of all, is just being really good at what you do, having those good results, and then the word is bound to spread for that. So, thinking, but it's good to always be marketing, and you can always do it just in the natural course of your day. If I'm going to, we're all athletes probably in some level, and so whatever, like Greg, you do racquetball, right? And so if you go to a racquet, you know, sporting goods store to get new balls or a racket or something, you know, find out if they've got a section in the store where you can put business cards or brochures or a tip sheet kind of thing. And then, you know, you could display your stuff there. You could find out if they give talks. Often stores love to have speakers running stores and, you know, golf stores. They love to have people talking about, you know, experts to come in. And usually they don't have anybody talking about sports psychology or the mental training. So they love that. It's a nice addition. Yeah, those are all good things to think about. Other sources of referrals are doctors as well. You know, if you go to your own doctor, this again is a natural course of your day. If you're going to a doctor for, let's say, a chiropractor for you know, work on your back or a sports injury, then, you know, that's a great place to say what you do there and give them some of your business cards. And you're paying them as a client, so everybody, I figure everybody that you write out a check to, see if they can write out a check to you in turn, or do, that, you know, they can often return the favor and send clients to you, too. You know, be proactive that way and always be thinking of marketing. If you have a book or a booklet or a tip sheet is always really good, you know, just a sheet with, say, top 10 tips that you can offer something really valuable, then, you know, like chiropractors love to have that in their office for as something helpful information that for their clients, because they're often seeing other athletes. So if you can leave something there with, you know, the sheet, helpful top 10 tips for mental training for athletes, say, and then have your contact information at the top and the bottom there, maybe a picture of you, and, you know, your bio, include that. Maybe free offer, you could offer your free ongoing tips or something, and then give your website place to sign up for that. That works great. So chiropractors, you know, sports medicine doctors like orthopedic surgeons are great. Example, when I I had a bicycle accident 3 years ago and, you know, broke my hip, and I was in the hospital, and then the doctor, orthopedic surgeon, had to do surgery and put 3 pins in my left femur bone. And so I became friends or colleagues with him, and he then, as I went in to see him for my treatments afterward, you know, got to know him better and let him know what I was doing, and he ended up being a referral source. I refer clients to him, and he refers clients to me. So think of it both ways, too, that you know, let them know that you can refer clients to them, that you're not just looking for one-way kind of thing, but that you can refer clients to them, which they're always look for something you can do for them first, and then in return, say, you know, they naturally want to return the favor and think of you for clients. So bring your business cards if you have them and give them to the doctor. And then their assistant up front often wants to, or that's the person that often refers clients. So make sure that the office assistant in the front desk has your business cards so they can refer people to you. So those are really great things to do. In terms of common complaints that parents have about their kids, I'd say, you know, the number one complaint would be and these are things you could talk about in your blog and on your website. Things like, you know, my child does great in practice, but they freeze up in the games or the race. You know, that there's a gap between practice and competition. And there's, you know, anxiety, just performance anxiety in general, that can display itself in many ways. Things like being, you know, physical complaints, like getting a stomach upset. Some kids throw up. Some kids just get really so nervous they can't perform. Some of you actually have panic attacks. And so, because they're just breathing, and it could be solved by a simple, you know, breathing technique, and just talking with them about, you know, some power words from the Your Performing Edge book, you know, some power statements that they can say to themselves that are comforting. And then other complaints that parents have with their kids that they need help on is maybe a particular, a big game that's coming up, a competition, and that they're, or that they're in high school and they're applying for colleges and they're looking to get into, you know, one of the top schools, and looking to get a scholarship, and scouts are looking at them, going to their practices, and so that's very scary for a lot of kids, because all of a sudden their game isn't fun anymore, or their practice, you know, the competitions aren't as fun because they know they're being watched by these scouts, and that huge decisions are being made based on that. Yeah, did I hear a ding? Did someone else join us?
Yes, hello, this is Monica. I'm sorry I'm late. I got confused with the time.
Well, that's okay. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
In Costa Rica?
Yes, from Costa Rica. Yeah, that's why I got the times mixed up today.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I'm so glad you could join us. Yeah, I've got Greg here too. Yeah, why don't you, yeah, since you're new, yeah, welcome to our Performing Edge Coach call here too. And yeah, it's great to have you on the call, Monica. And
thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry?
Why don't you, since you're new, why don't you introduce yourself and say, you know, why you're interested in this program and what you'd like to achieve?
Well, hello, good morning to everybody. My name is Monica Sosto. I am, I was born and raised in Costa Rica, lived in the States for a little while, got my psychology degree there, and moved back to Costa Rica a few years ago, and very interested in the, I did child psychology, and now I'm very interested in the sports psychology, especially because my kids are in sports competitively right now. And anyway, I'm just very looking forward to, I'm just starting this process and the certificate with Dr. Joanne, but I'm really excited and motivated to learn a lot. So, and I apologize for joining so late.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, what sports are your kids into again?
They're in golf. The older one, it's especially, yeah, playing golf.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Greg is here too. Do you want to introduce yourself, Greg, to Monica?
Hi, Monica. How are you? My name is Greg. Yeah, welcome to the group. My name is Greg Herring. I live here in San Luis Obispo, California. Not sure if you're exactly halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco here on the coast.
Ooh. Beautiful.
And, yeah, it is. We're fortunate to live here.
Here you are.
So my focus is on team development, but I also work with individual athletes. Anytime you work with a team, there always seems to be a couple of individuals that need some private work. And the focus, as I'm sure yours is, or my purpose for signing up with this Dr. Joanne's program is to enhance my skills on the mental training piece. So, I've recently graduated, and I'm sure that you'll find as much value in this as I did. So, welcome.
Well, thank you, Greg. Thank you very much. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, great. I know several people are on vacation since it's the Memorial Day weekend coming up.
It is. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just got a So today we were talking about how to work with families with sports kids and sports parents. And so I was just talking about some examples of parents I've worked with, different referral sources that you could think of that you could have. Monica, do you have any questions or anything that you wanted to ask so far?
No, so far I'm good. I'm all ears.
Okay, good. I was just talking about the common complaints that parents have with their kids, things that they need help with, and some are, the kids do really well in practice, but freeze up in competitions. Some, have major anxiety or panic attacks before their games or their races.
That's very interesting, because the case study that I will have, it's a very competitive swimmer, and she's 16 years old, and that is her issue. I mean, she swims very well during training, but when it comes to competition, she has panic attacks. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, how old is she?
She's 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, seems like
so I'm very interested about what you have to say, how to work with this kind of issues. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, let me go into some of the things that I do with kids and sports parents, because I think, sports it provides a wonderful training ground for developing one's, your self-confidence, your determination, your inner strength, and, kids can learn all sorts of great things, competitiveness, they learn leadership skills, and, so many things we can learn through sports. You can learn how to cooperate, and you can learn self-discipline, and in addition to, of course, getting really fit. But athletics, often it becomes, like in swimming, Monica, like you're saying, and Greg, with your teams, I guess, Greg, you're working with, is it soccer mainly?
At this point, I primarily work with soccer teams, but like I say, in the fall, I have, we have softball, volleyball, lacrosse, and basketball coming up. So it's starting to, back to my earlier comment, it's more the referrals right now that I'm getting. I'm not getting much traffic from my website, but as you know, I'm still in the development stage of that. So I'm hoping by adding the keywords that you have been talking about in these videos are going to help drive traffic there as well. So
yeah, and I think the interview that I just did with you, that can help too, for sure. With having that on. So, in terms of, referrals, it's something that you can get through lots of, I think it does come over time, and it's something that you can, that you can get through, like, other clients, as I mentioned, or other coaches, also chiropractors, doctors. There's all kinds of ways that, you could also write, go to other blog, search on other mental training websites and offer information for other coaches and sports teams, offer to write an article for their websites. That's a really great way, too, and always include a something, a link back to your website, maybe with a free article or free offer of some sort, so that can really help drive traffic to your website too, and bring about referrals if you can write for others' websites. So anyway, good. So back to, I was just going to talk about how sports can be a really wonderful, how I actually work with athletes and parents. I think sports can be a really wonderful training ground for their self-confidence, but sports can also become a negative experience for some people if they don't get the right kind of emotional support from their parents or from their coaches. And I think parents need to be sensitive to the impact that sports experiences have on their athletes, you know, self-confidence and self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think parents and coaches need to understand that the lessons gained from sports they're frequently really carried over into the rest of their lives. So that's one thing I emphasize when I'm talking to parents on the phone is that, you know, if they're having, let's say, like Monica, you're saying the child has a panic attack, if they don't deal with that now, don't address that problem now, then it tends to, you know, go into other aspects of their lives where they get anxious or panicky about other, you know, at school
mm-hmm.
and with friends and social anxiety, all of that as well. Whereas,
mm-hmm.
And I often say to the parents, this is a really good time to be working on this because you avoid the problem getting worse later, and you can, sports is such a great arena for building that self-confidence and overcoming anxiety and panic. It will often, it just carries it over frequently. I mean, it's bound to carry over into, you know, every aspect of their lives, so they're more confident
right.
You know, with other
and
people.
And the parents of this particular child were talking about how she is a wonderful student. She really doesn't have, she doesn't really show this anxiety other than before a competition. So that's kind of, I'm not working with her just yet, but I'm wondering if it's just pressure or what do you think could be, if it truly is, you know, according to her parents, that it's really just before a competition, not before a test, not before going out or doing some other, you know, things. It's really based on their report that it's really just when she's going to swim competitively.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it would be good to ask her what kind of thoughts go through her mind, you
mm-hmm.
know, before, you know, when she's getting ready and, you know, right before the swim competition. And oftentimes it's, you know, there's just, with swimming, it's, if it was going to be like a long, you know, 1 mile swim or, you know, a 2 mile ocean swim or something, you've got a lot of time out there to, you know, to show your
skills,
you know,
yeah.
show what you can do. But in
mm-hmm.
swimming, it's just, God, it's just, you know, it's over and so quickly.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you, when you work with people like this, do you usually go and are there during a competition and have them go and pay attention to their thoughts, or do you rely on what they report after the fact? You know what I'm saying?
Both
I think
ways.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. it depends on the situation. Most of the time, I just work with people by phone, and so I don't go to the competitions. But if it is, like I'm close to Stanford here, so if it's, say, a swimmer, you know, when I worked with like Misty Hyman, Olympic gold medalist, who's a swimmer at Stanford, I'd
mm-hmm.
go there, sometimes watch her swim. If it's local, if it is a local competition where you can attend, that's really great to do that. You know, once in a while to see what's going on. There was a cross country. I live close to a cross country, really famous cross country running course here, and so all the high school kids come up here. So I, you know, because it was so close, I just went up there and watched one of my 16-year-old kids. Run up there, so and then you can kind of get their watch what they're doing beforehand, how they get nervous, and I mean if it works, you could even actually work with them, or if you have a good relationship with them, you could work with them right there for a few minutes right before the competition,
mm-hmm.
talk with them. But oftentimes they're so busy getting ready for their competition, they might not have time to do that, but right afterward is a really good time to talk with them because you can see
mm-hmm.
how they respond, and if you if they do well, you can congratulate them, and if they don't do as well, you could be there to support them and you know, kind of talk about how it went and all, and
mm-hmm.
just go do a walk with them or something. It's your choice, and then of course if you get to work with people at a higher level. I've worked with the athletes at the last 5 Olympic Games, you know, right there on site at the Olympic Training Center and all. That's really exciting. too. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessary to go there to the competition unless you have access to that. You can easily do just as well by phone, I think, and just ask mm-hmm. them, you know, what thoughts go through your mind before the competition, and ask, you know, what is it about the swim competition that that you worry about. Ask those kind of questions. What is it that you, what's different about the swim meet
mm-hmm.
that's different than practice?
Mm-hmm.
And they might have all kinds of, people worry about lots of different things. It might be that they're having problems with their coach. Oftentimes swim coaches are really demanding, and
yeah.
they're worried about their swim coach, really putting them down or saying really negative things about them. Sometimes it's the parent that is, overbearing and difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when they're 16 or 17 years old, they're applying to colleges for scholarships, so they're
mm-hmm.
really worried. So often the swimming takes on a whole, or any sport like that takes on a whole new meaning, because they're thinking
mm-hmm.
of it not just as a sport, but as a job, as a way to get this huge scholarship.
To college and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it mm-hmm. could be worth $250,000 kind of thing. I mean,
yeah.
colleges are so expensive these days, $60,000
mm-hmm.
a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
It's just outrageous, some of them. And so, and they, it could mean, so they're thinking of it in terms of a career, and if they are thinking, going on to, professional, in some sports, basketball, baseball, football, going on to the major leagues or, professional sports, then they're thinking of it as a career. So it's not, sometimes it can take the fun out of it.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
that's where you can come in to help put the fun back into the sport, and I think the, provide more, a kind of a balance for them. And often it will ask the child, what attracted you to your sport initially? What did you like about it way back when you first started? And they have to really think
good,
back,
huh?
And often they've lost that perspective, and they think that, like,
yeah.
as a swimmer, they might think, well, I like the water, I like the,
mm-hmm.
Just that feeling of flowing through the water, the,
mm-hmm.
It's cool, or sometimes it's a friendship thing that they like being with their friends there.
What about if it's the parents, overbearing parents, and pushing a little bit?
Yeah, that's when you can, I think, you can work with the parents, too. You could work with the child, have an individual session with them on the phone, and then you can actually work with the parents often have lots of questions about how to be a good parent. So I would I found that was the case with this one swimming family I'm working with. I was working with they wanted me to work with the older daughter, so I do individual sessions with her, and then the younger daughter, the individual
mm-hmm.
sessions with her, and then the mother was asking lots of questions and on the phone, and I said, well, why not, why don't we do a session with you and your husband if you want, sometimes it could be just the mother or the mother and father, and see if we can give you some tips about how to, give you some training how to be a good sports parent. So
mm-hmm.
Here's some of the things that I said to them, and that you could, some ideas that you could, may be helpful for all of, for you, Monica, and Greg, and all of you, when working with sports parents. Well, one thing is, I think that, the greatest contribution that a parent could provide is, like character building, and the best educator of that is the sports field. So I think, you might to think of the parents and helping develop with their child self-assurance and, courage and discipline and things like ability to handle adversity and leadership
mm-hmm.
skills. And rather than a lot of parents have that a win at all costs attitude, you know, mm-hmm. Philosophy of, you know, you've got to get this time or else it's a failure, or you've got to get to a certain place in the race or else it's or else you're not going to make the cut, and put all of this pressure on them. And I think the primary thing, you know, they're looking at is tangible rewards, but really what we want to encourage is the parents to, you know, to look at the internal value of sports.
Of a sport, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so some of the common mistakes that parents make and coaches make are like overreacting when their athlete makes an error or doesn't perform up to expectations. Like they, like even parents when they're sitting in the stands, they roll their eyes. That in tennis matches, if they're sitting in the front row, the kid can see the parents, you know, rolling their eyes or, putting their head down in their lap when they make a mistake, and that really that has a huge impact on their child. The parent doesn't realize that.
What's
that?
Yeah. No, we don't. I'm on both sides.
If you can encourage the parent to maybe before they go to watch their child at the competition, go out and do their own sport, you know, go out for a run, go out and swim or something, you know, and mm-hmm. so that you're more relaxed so that when you go to the competition, you know, every little mistake doesn't have as much of a bearing.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
there's a lot going on inside the kids' heads that we don't realize, and parents have a lot more effect than they think. Other mistakes are demanding too much time or commitment from athletes, so they think that they're overtrained or they're burnt out or they're injured frequently. So you want to help parents to have a balance there so that they have some time to relax and to realize, watch for the signs when a child is getting burnt out or overtrained, and it's okay to have them take a break or not, train so hard for a little period, to have a little vacation from it. It's really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, like in the case, if a parent has two children and one of them is better than the other, that's one big mistake is giving a whole lot of attention to the star, so to speak, the star kid, and ignoring the value of the other kid.
Mm-hmm.
And kids really pick up on that, and it can be a huge blow to the other one's self-esteem. So
of course,
if you can encourage parents to be fair and to try to see the value and see the in each child and to bring out the strengths in each child, you could ask the parent, what are the strengths in your older child, and what are the strengths in your younger child, and ask them to list those, and then see if they can bring those out. One of the ways that you could bring out the strengths in working with the kids is to have them list their strengths, the kids themselves, and then do an MP3, a visualization around the power word, using power words. So if they say, I'm a determined athlete, I never give up, say those things on the tape, on the visualization when you record it for them. So say, I am a determined athlete, I work hard, I'm a determined athlete, I work hard, and say it two times so that they really take that in. So and then you just go down the list of all the things that they said are their strengths. Maybe I in tough situations, I know how to recover quickly, and just say that and use the I word, as though you're the client. Say, in tough situations, I recover quickly. I know how to do this. So those kind of things, you make a whole list of those and just record them onto a tape. And use their name, if it's Sandy, use their name on the tape so that it's really personal to them.
Exactly.
And then you want to, another mistake that parents make is keeping pressure on so that every practice, becomes this life or death situation. you're requiring every athlete has to improve by a certain amount each day. And improvement doesn't always come you know, in a linear fashion like that, up straight uphill, you know, you have some good days, some bad days. You have two steps forward and one step back, and that's okay. That's the way life is. And I think we need to just, you know, kind of help the parents to lighten up a little bit realize that it's okay if you didn't feel good today. You know, tomorrow's another day, and you just help them recover from it. That kind of thing. And then another mistake that parents make is not respecting that athletes need to have balance in his or her life, for school and for family, for work if they're in high school, and for relaxation. So help the parents to you know, create a better schedule, so that if you see that the child is totally wiped out, then they're not going to be good at anything, but help them to kind of be able to have that balance. So they're not falling asleep in school, that they're awake enough and that they have time for that, in addition to their and family fun and stuff that they're doing, and time for relaxation, along with the sports, because the sports sometimes tends to, in swimming, I know, like Monica, you're saying, you know, that it tends to take over. Like, I know I'm working with a 17-year-old swimmer right now. She's swimming 4 to 5 hours a day.
Okay, I mean, they get up, this child particular, the school starts at 7:30 in the morning here, but she has to be there by 4:30 in the morning to start swimming.
Get up at 4:30?
Up in the school swimming at 4:30 in the morning. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then in the afternoon after school again. Yeah, it's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, swimming is one of those most demanding sports.
It is.
So much time. Yeah. Gymnastics, the same thing. They train so many hours during the day. And so if you can help them to, you know, sometimes you can make them a tape, a MP3 audio visualization that just for relaxation, that just helps them to get sleep at night. That can help a lot, so that the sleep they do get, you know, is really good quality sleep. That can really help with balance. Another mistake that parents make is overemphasizing body weight with female athletes. That can often lead to image problems or an eating disorder. So I think it's good to not, you know, especially with sports like running or swimming or equestrian sports, where you need to be, you know, thin. Women get really obsessed with their body weight, and they can end up, you know, just really obsessing about not only their training, but then their food too.
Yeah.
And I know the swimmers at Stanford, you know, a lot of the swimmers on the swim team had either injuries or eating disorders, and it's really, so you want to help parents to just try to keep, you know, that in balance, and not overemphasize body weight, but just emphasize, you know, a good healthy lifestyle and good confidence, self-confidence in the person. Because your body will fall in line if you just eat healthy and are training, accept the body that you have.
Exactly.
Another mistake that parents make is, mistreating the athlete or demeaning the athlete for being lazy or not trying or not placing high enough, you know, in their sport. And I think, what you can help the parents to do is to just focus on effort level, because really all the athlete has control over is their attitude and their effort level. And if you can help them to realize that athletes just need that, those are the things, the mental training, the confidence, the focus, what they're paying attention to, those are the things that you want to help the athletes to reinforce, is, you know, for trying hard, rather than the external results of placing high or doing a certain time. So help them to realize that, you know, let's focus on what the athlete can do, what they have control over, which is their effort.
The internal reward as opposed to the, external. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, Greg, are you still there too? I think I heard a ding. He may have had to leave. But anyway, a couple other mistakes are engaging in inappropriate behavior. Some athletes, you know, end up, you know, they're so frustrated with the, like, if the officials make a bad call in, you know, games like basketball, baseball, football, tennis, they'll end up, you know, harassing the officials or using profanity, and, you know, that's really a poor role model for the kids and embarrasses the kids. And so parents need to keep their own emotions in check, you know. And so one of the things, if you're working with parents, you could teach them to do some breathing exercises to relax themselves and be able to, like I was mentioning, you know, do their own workout beforehand so that they're more relaxed. And so every shot isn't like a life or death situation for them. Every point isn't so critical, but they can just be, you know, try to encourage and to realize that they only have control over, you know, the kid has control over what they're doing, but they don't have control over what the officials are doing. And to question what an official is saying, I mean, of course there's always going to be bad calls, but you just have to, you know, teach them to accept that and just go with, just move on. And that will help, if they can do that, then that will help the child to follow their suit. And then just the last thing, common mistakes is losing perspective of the purpose of sports and being preoccupied with winning or putting the athletes under additional stress. So you can, you know, you want to help athletes to use sports as a way to, you know, build character and discipline and confidence, and not just focus on the winning part, because you know, it depends on how the other team's doing. Winning depends on a lot of things, how the other team members are doing, how the other opponents are doing, or you're in swimming, in that case, you know, how the other competition is doing. So you just have to focus on the athlete doing their best. So what athletes can do, coaches can do, is, and what parents can do, is provide a basis for positive self-confidence by, you know, sending a message that each athlete has value. Each of their athletes, if they have two or three in the family, each athlete has value, whether that individual is a star or just a bench warmer at that time. And then another thing that parents should do that you can help them with is to just say that the standards, the achievement standards, need to be within the athlete's capabilities. So a lot of times parents are trying to live through their kids, you know, and live through the kids, you know, expecting them to do what they couldn't do, and because the parents maybe couldn't achieve that level of success they wanted for their kids. And you want to help the parents to enjoy the successes that occur and just express appreciation for their, you know, for the child and for the efforts that they're giving, and to never be punitive or rejecting if the athlete, you know, tries but doesn't succeed, because, you know, sometimes we don't always succeed. And if you want your athlete to avoid fear of failure, you don't want to give them a reason to dread that failure, but give them the encouragement to try and to do their best. That's all we can ask. And then you want to ask parents to, you know, stress improvement for the individual skills rather than comparison to others. A lot of athletes, you know, really compare themselves to others, and swimmers, you know, they're thinking, I'm not as good as so-and-so. So, but, you know, help the parents to realize that that skill development and physical growth, it occurs at different rates for each person. So you want to help each of the kids, athletes, to derive the pleasure from self-improvement over time. You know, even if, say, the athlete won't ever be a professional athlete or an Olympian, you want to just be able to, you know, have them have fun. That's the most important thing, is to get that fun factor back in. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I it makes 100% sense. Yeah. I think you, by as a byproduct, you'll become a good athlete, you know, if you really focus on the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes, you know, there, yeah, this, the physical skill growth, I mean, kids don't have any control over that part. So they just have control over, you know, what they're thinking, how hard they work, and their effort level. So, and then just help the parents to know what, oftentimes they ask, well, how do I know if I'm pushing the kid too far or not? And so you want to kind of help them to read their athletes correctly, to know what level of direction to provide for each athlete. So avoid under-coaching or over-coaching. So some athletes need strong guidance, and others need more, are more self-directed, and they only need sort of you to be a consultant. So, you know, help the parents to kind of get a sense of their the personality of their children, and that they sometimes they can direct themselves pretty well, so they only need just occasional guidance, and other times other kids, you know, really need stronger guidance if they're kind of heading in the wrong direction. So
right,
help them.
Try to. Yeah, you have to have some connection to your kids. Yeah, I mean, you have to read them, like you said, yeah, know them.
Yeah, to kind of see the signs there when they're, and oftentimes they will ask you as a parent if what you're, you know, if they need help, and sometimes they don't, and sometimes the best help you can give, if they're a parent, the best help they can provide is to get the kids to a professional coach, you know, first a physical coach, athletic coach, and then also a, you know, sports performance coach like yourself, you know, to give them that help, because they can't, you know, parents, if they're not an expert in the sport, they shouldn't be coaching the athlete themselves, not unless they're, you know, an expert at that sport. Sometimes parents are both parents and coaches, but sometimes they shouldn't be, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to just help the parents to emphasize fun and participation and skill development, you know, rather than the winning and losing. And most people participate in a sport because they enjoy the activity for their own sake. And so the tangible rewards like winning or getting a certain time or place, that should be secondary. But just, you know, enjoy, you know, try to find out after, teach the parents to ask the kid, okay, what did you learn today? Or what, you know, skills were you working on? And what was fun about it for you today? You know, ask them those kind of questions rather than, you know, did you win or did you lose? to kind of keep that out of the vocabulary.
Okay.
Yeah, emphasize the learning part. And then one thing, last thing that parents can do is after, you know, parents often ask, well, what, after their athlete has a tough loss or, you know, they didn't do as well, they had a disappointment, what should I do? And if you can help them to support, you know, just listen to what the athlete's saying, support what they're doing, and understand, try to go for understanding, and then praise for the efforts that they did give.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to help parents to provide an accepting environment for the athlete to, you know, so they can really feel, express the emotion. So just ask, well, what went on, as opposed to, you know, the parents wanting to give advice right away if there was a bad game or something or bad race. You know, just help them to just listen and ask, you know, how are you feeling, or what was that like for you? So ask an open-ended question so they can just express what they're feeling. And then just respect and accept those feelings, as opposed to saying, no, you shouldn't feel that way. You know, they often say that.
Well, yeah, I don't think you should feel this way. I'm just kidding.
Which is one of the worst things you can say, but parents do that all the time.
It's not the role of the parent, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you just let them feel what they feel, because those are real feelings, and so that's one of the best things parents can do. Parents are having feelings, too, and they can ask themselves how they're feeling within themselves, you know, but not to project that onto their son or daughter. And so don't say, you know, and if they really screwed up, the kid, don't say, well, you did great, you know, when the kid knows he didn't. You know, just instead just point out something positive that they did achieve. Like if they were running, say, well, you did really, I saw that you were maintaining your good running form throughout the race. You know, maybe even if you didn't win, you know, you looked, your running form was good, or you, you know, let's say from mile 2 to 3, I thought you really, I like how you really passed that guy, or, you know, in swimming, I like how you kept your pace during that second lap. You know, try to point out something positive that did happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then help the parents to focus on the important lessons of life that can be learned. So, being mentally strong in the face of, you know, something tough that was happening, or self-discipline or patience, or learning cooperation. Try to point out, okay, what was, or ask their kid, what did you learn today? And then point out things that they're learning that can be applied to everything in life. Because once they learn them in sports, then they can, they'll be a much better student, a much better worker, a much better family member.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a better person, yeah.
Yeah, so those are kind of some of the mistakes parents make, and then some of the things that you can help them to do as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can really have some valuable sessions with the parents themselves. I'm just starting to do, I've always just worked with athletes, the kids in the past, but now I'm working with the, you know, having individual sessions with the parents too, and it's really great.
Right, because I wonder how much can you do if you helped, you know, with this particular case, you know, she's having panic attacks before, but a competition, you can help them learn to relax and do visualization. But I'm thinking if she's coming home to an environment that it's negative, then there's so much you can help, right?
Yeah, if you can work with the parents too, then parents are really anxious and they're providing a bad role model for the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Help them to relax and be a better, work on themselves, then you can help them to be a better role model for their kids and provide a more relaxing environment so that the kids can relax. I think that can help a lot. Maybe sometimes some of the things that the parents are doing, like yelling at the kid, berating them or demeaning them for things, that can lead to the panic because there's such high standards there. So help them to relax their standards a little bit and just be and lighten up and tell some jokes sometimes.
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
create, bring some humor into it. I think
exactly.
all of that can really help.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we're just about out of time here, and any other questions that you have?
No, I think I'm good. I'll think about some more for next time.
Great to have you, Monica, and Greg.
Thank you.
And everybody, I think there's several other people on the line. They just have their lines muted because of background noise right now. So I just want to thanks, Monica, and thanks to all of you for joining us today and spending your valuable time here, because I think it's a really great investment of your time. And
It is. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, and any other, do you have any suggestions for topics that you'd like us? I'm always open to, I'd love to have your requests for topics for these calls.
All right, yeah, I will let you know by mail.
Yeah, by email is great. Anyone can email me about topics, and we'll address those. So our next call will be June. It's always the second, fourth Thursday of the month at 9 a.m. Pacific. So next one will be June the 12th.
June 12th.
On that Thursday. So, and then after that will be June 26th. So mark your calendars, and we'll talk to everyone then. All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Have a
Thank
great
you.
Day.
Have a good one. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.